Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for coming today. I know our whole team has been really, really excited, really looking forward to tonight, to our official launch of DefineTheLine.ca. So welcome. Tonight, we also want to say a quick hello to anyone who is watching on the internet. We are webcasting live around the world, so we have some friends at Stanford, some friends in Toronto, across Canada, and across the world that are watching this program tonight. So hello to anybody. I don't even know. Hello. Tonight, basically, we have a few short speeches. You're going to get a chance to see our brand new website. You're the first set of eyes to ever see it, so you're really a part of this important milestone in our project. You'll learn more about how we conceptualized this website, why we picked the stakeholders we did, why our logo looks like this, and you'll hear from some important partners in our project. At the end of the night, we have a very special musical surprise, so I won't ruin it by telling you what it is, but look forward to that. And also, we'll have an exciting question and answer period, and it's exciting because you guys not only are able to ask your questions here, but you can tweet them in live. So if you follow us on Twitter, our Twitter name is YouDefineTheLine, U as in the letter U. And follow us on Twitter, and if you have comments, questions, feedback, anything that's going through your mind, then, yeah, tweet us in. And we have Evan in the corner over there, handsome man, who will be monitoring our Twitter account. And for those of you who are watching live online, you can press the Ask button in the corner, and you can send us your questions as well. So at the end of the program, when we have the question and answer, we'll be able to address any of your thoughts or comments that you've had over the course of the program. So, to begin, I would like to introduce someone very special, the Dean of Education, Dr. Helen Burrow. She's the Dean of the Faculty of Education at McGill University. Previously, Dr. Perot was the Associate Provost for Planning and Budgets and has served as the Department Chair for Kinesiology and Physical Education. She's the holder of a PhD in Exercise Physiology from the University of Montreal and remains a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education and an associate member of the Department of Medicine Division of Respiratory Medicine at the McGill University Health Center. She served as a McGill Senator between 2001 and 2005, and as a past president of the Canadian Society for Exercise Physiology, she has and continues to foster academic and research collaborations between exercise sciences and medicine for health promotion, advancement of knowledge, and the development of therapeutic modalities and applications. All amazing things. As Dean of the Faculty of Education since 2008, she has spearheaded and coordinated several initiatives that link the faculty's four academic units. And this provides an unrivaled setting for transdisciplinary research, which is an increasingly important approach to inquiry that seeks to go beyond the boundaries of existing disciplines to tackle some of society's most urgent challenges. And I'm sure you'll see over the course of today that that's a big part of our project as well, bringing in different stakeholders, different units of people from different backgrounds to engage and discuss issues that are really, really important, like cyberbullying, privacy, social media. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Helen Perot.
Merci, Shazia. Bienvenue à tous, chers amis, chers collègues. C'est un plaisir de vous accueillir ici ce soir. Shazia, elle a presque fait un roman hein, de mes petites aventures de McGill. Mais en fait, c'est vrai que c'est un privilège pour moi d'être ici ce soir. Et puis, when Shaheen told us that she was doing and preparing and this launch, she told us she would be doing a small thing just to underline and be the official launch. And I was just sharing with her how this is not small. This is amazing. I've never been around the world at the same time. Kind of intimidating, but it is exciting. And I think, as he has said, what we are seeing tonight is something that I think is transcending disciplines, transcending countries, as we are saying. We are now in cyber realities, and I think that cyber realities is something that now we all need to deal with. I'm not the expert on it. The team here certainly is. And I think that the importance of that theme, the importance of this reality and how to adapt to this reality and to the exigencies of these realities is something that we're all struggling with. Alors, c'est pas étonnant que la demande d'appui, de recherche qu'a fait au cours des dernières années Shaheen ont eu l'attention et l'appui des différents conseils de recherche du Canada, comme le Conseil de recherche en sciences humaines, mais aussi que la demande a été aussi bien accueillie dans le programme de formation continue du ministère de l'Éducation, en soutien à ces questions qui fusent de toutes parts, qui sont présentes, omniprésentes, je dirais. On en parle, mais il faut faire plus qu'en parler. Et je pense que ce qu'a fait Shaheen et son équipe, et ce qu'on va voir aujourd'hui, c'est une réalisation qui, en tout cas, à mon sens, m'éduque beaucoup et m'apprend beaucoup de choses sur, justement, les différents aspects de cette cyber-réalité. So, Shaheen, it is, I think, a privilege to be here today and to be supporting, I think, this project. Defining the line is hard enough in our everyday real world, but it's even more difficult in the cyber world. And I think that not too many people had tackled that challenge, and your team here has started doing it in a very nice way. And I'm really pleased to be here launching it and offering the support for you to continue on this line, defining the line, and going in new places where we probably have not been very much so far. So, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those kind words. Next, I would like to introduce the director, principal investigator, and main star of the evening, the heart and soul of this project, Dr. Shaheen Sharif. Were you going to clap? Because you could clap. But Shaheen Sharif has her PhD. She's an associate professor in the Department of Integrated Studies in the Faculty of Education here at McGill. She's also an affiliate scholar with the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford University Law School. Dr. Sharif is an international expert on legal issues that have emerged in relation to online social communications, such as cyberbullying, free expression, privacy, libel, and criminal harassment. Her research and teaching are grounded in the study of law as it impacts educational policy, pedagogy, and practice. She has developed guidelines for school administrators, teachers, and parents regarding the extent of their legal responsibilities to address cyberbullying in various contexts, and she has been an expert witness in many court cases. Her studies human rights, constitutional, and tort law as they inform institutional responsibilities to provide safe and productive school and work environments, censorship, and diversity in schools. She recently served on the McGill Principals Task Force on Diversity. Professor Sharif was invited to participate on a United Nations panel on cyber hate, which was chaired by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, and served on an international advisory committee working with UNESCO and CETA. She was a panelist on the U.S. First Amendment Center's online symposium, which featured her scholarship. Her keynote addresses include the National Center Against Bullying Conference in Melbourne, Australia, the ExBIS Conference at the University of Aarhus in Copenhagen, the Canadian Association for the Practical Study of Law and Education, and Quebec Provincial Association of Teachers. She's invited to speak at the CIESP Congress in Brazil this September and has presented at Oxford Internet Institute, Oxford University, and NetSafe New Zealand. Dr. Sharif's publications are listed on our website, which you'll see today, on the About Us page, and they include the following books: Cyberbullying, Issues and Solutions for the School, the Classroom, and the Home; Confronting Cyberbullying, What Schools Need to Know to Control Misconduct and Avoid Legal Consequences; Truths and Myths of Cyberbullying, and she is now working on the second edition of Confronting Cyberbullying with Cambridge. Define the Line is the result of 8 years of research funded through government grants as principal investigator from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council for Canada, and more recently, the Quebec Ministry of Education under the Chantier 7 project. I think it's safe to say that she has accomplished a lot in her career, and we're really proud to have her tonight. Please welcome Dr. Shaheen Sharif.
Thank you very much to Dean Rimperlow. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you, Shazia, for this wonderful organization. For once, I am speechless. I'm overwhelmed. This is a wonderful response to our website and to our work. And we are really looking forward to collaborating with all of you in the future and as of now. Now that our website went live as of 5 p.m. last night, and we've already got a good response to it. I just want to call up my speech, which is supposed to be here. Someone who doesn't know much about technology. So I'm going to have a go at one paragraph in French. Mesdames et messieurs, distingués représentants du ministère de l'Éducation du Québec et des commissions scolaires anglophones et francophones, collègues universitaires, étudiants et amis, bienvenue au lancement de Définir la frontière.ca. A special welcome to my affiliates at the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford University, who are promoting our launch through the CIS Stanford website concurrently. We are delighted to have the opportunity to collaborate with the Table Commission Scolaire University MELD and the French school boards to engage with teachers and students in the French sector and to identify emerging legal considerations and judicial decisions that are specific to the Quebec context. That has not been done in relation to cyberbullying or cyber intimidation to the extent that we hope to do it, and we really look forward to collaborating with the school boards in Quebec. In that regard, we hope to expand the resources and guidelines on Définir la frontière. To that end, we are extremely grateful to the Ministry of Education Quebec for funding the first stage of this project under the Chantier 7 project. We look forward to sustaining these partnerships as the website develops organically with input, engagement, and feedback from all of our stakeholders. We are also delighted to have the opportunity to partner with the Lester-Reese Pearson School Board as part of their unique initiative to foster digital citizenship throughout every aspect of school curriculum. We look forward to working with the school board to develop relevant programs and engage stakeholders on our website. We believe that our joint efforts with both the English and French sectors will have significant impact on improving the social development of youth in Quebec and internationally, and result in better informed parents, educators, and policymakers. In 2008, when I launched my first book, I gave a public talk at McGill in our faculty on cyberbullying and its related legal issues as they were discussed in the book. Tonight, I don't need to do that. You will have access to the information firsthand through the website and updates on legislation, case law, policies, and expert advice on working towards digital citizenship in collaborative, critical, and thoughtful ways. This evening, my team of researchers will demonstrate the website because it has come to life as a result of their digital citizenship, commitment, and investment. You will meet most of them tonight, and I will introduce and recognize them individually at the end of this evening. And I hope that many of you will stay because this is a fabulous team. I cannot tell you how hard they've worked. And they have just taken ownership and rolled with this project. So I really, really am grateful. Before I continue, before they present the website, please let me explain how and why this website is unique and our rationale for developing it this way. The media has asked, what is different about this one? There are so many websites out there, and many with policy and practice information for stakeholders. So what's new about this website? The advent of the internet, mobile phones, and social media, such as Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and iPhones, and related digital media, has changed the norms of communication forever. There continues to be a policy vacuum relating to the limits of online free expression as it relates to balancing privacy rights, safety rights, supervision, and regulation. We can either over-regulate or under-regulate. We need to balance the right of students who do not leave their rights to free expression at the schoolhouse gates. As we increasingly rely on digital media, navigating these concerns has become complicated and confusing. DefineTheLine.ca is an effort to provide stakeholders with some clarity and direction based on what we know from the research, until the courts provide us with better guidelines. Our objective is to work with schools, policymakers, youth, parents, and stakeholders to redirect negative online expression and activities to those that enhance, encourage, foster, model, and sustain social responsibility and digital citizenship. As we build strong partnerships with parents and schools, we want to also work with the corporate sector and with the news media sectors, which have important and influential roles to play in promoting digital citizenship over negative forms of online communication. These sectors can also have an influence in sometimes tacitly condoning cyberbullying and negative forms of expression. And the media can sometimes sensationalize the issues and create a sense of moral panic that digital technologies are bad for kids and that most kids use the technologies in a negative way. That's not quite true. Most kids, most young people use technologies responsibly. It is that extreme element that needs to work on redirecting their energies. Almost a decade after I pioneered research on cyberbullying, it has reached the forefront of government policy agendas and is increasingly before the courts in the United States. President Obama and Michelle Obama recently held a conference at the White House, and they have also developed a website, but I think ours is better. I was recently invited to be an expert witness in a case that has been appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada very recently. My role was to convince the Supreme Court justices that cyberbullying is a crucial matter of public interest and public policy. If they agree to hear the case, and we won't know for about 4 months, we can expect long-awaited guidance by the High Court. Canadian courts have held off hearing issues and relate to the contentious issue of cyberbullying because they do not want to open the floodgates to litigation. And I agree, I don't believe that litigation is the answer. However, I believe they will not be able to stave off the lawsuits for very much longer. The courts in the United States have succumbed and offered guidelines in some instances, and Canadians are not immune. Our research discloses that young adults and youth who are growing up with digital media, what we call digital natives, do not differentiate between their physical lived reality and online worlds. Both are integral aspects of their lives and identities. For parents, teachers, and administrators, we call ourselves the digital immigrants, The transition is more difficult, and many continue to see on and offline worlds as separate entities. Our objective in this website is to bring those two worlds together, to engage and guide stakeholders, parents, teachers, policymakers, as well as teens and children, to learn from each other and collaborate online using the resources that we hope will continue to populate our website. We wanted to create a website that provides stakeholders with well-researched and resourced information to help them identify the lines that cross over from general teasing and horseplay to legal risks, where they can risk liability. We have also seen a significant increase in the tendency to focus on entertainment, competition, and group voyeurism at the expense of others' privacy, reputation, respect, and well-being. Although most young people use digital media responsibly, there is an element of society, including adults, that model and lead others to using digital media in offensive ways that are antithetical to digital citizenship. Examples, unfortunately, include planned beatings and rapes, where they are videotaped and posted online to entertain an infant audience. And these are teenagers we're talking about. There was a case very recently in Nanaimo, BC, where a teenage girl was beaten up. It was filmed, it was posted on YouTube, and it was emailed to a rapper who then put words and music to the beating and posted it on his website to advertise his music. When interviewed, he felt there was nothing wrong with this. And some of you may have heard about the gang rape of the other teen that went viral. It absolutely went viral. The impact of such postings on those who are both physically and emotionally victimized is significant, and in some extreme cases, it results in suicide. There is sustained impairment of privacy rights every time the postings resurface. Every time somebody saves this video or a form of expression or an insult or something that demeans someone, it can resurface. And in that way, the victim is re-victimized. It won't be too long now. While understandably schools rely on zero tolerance, suspensions and expulsions, and parents and teachers' unions' lobbies called for amendment to criminal laws to curtail cyberbullying, I strongly contend these reactive responses are not the answer. Research repeatedly confirms that it is essential to help children and teens to develop an inner moral filter, empathy, and an appreciation that even though we are not face-to-face online, the insults, harassment, exclusion, shunning, teasing impact real human beings on the receiving end. Digital media, lesson plans, and dialogues can guide children to understand that if they use videos and photographs for entertainment, these should never involve real people, and I'm not condoning violent videos at all, but you will see some videos that we have developed with the Torrance Foundation that have been embraced by the Lester B. Pearson School Board, and they have their effect in helping young people realize what they're doing. Social media is not in and of itself to blame, but can facilitate the spread. Ultimately, many forms of negative expression are rooted in societal attitudes that have been around for centuries. We need to work harder to address those attitudes, intolerance, and prejudice. But something else has surfaced with the invention of online social media, and that is the need to do outrageous things to be heard above other thousands of voices online. The pressure to have more online friends along a hierarchy of who is valued has increased. As my colleague from the Faculty of Education, Claudia Mitchell, has written, girls' online identities, for example, do not distinguish between public and private or real and virtual. Similarly, when friends joke on social media, Some do not realize that the target of their jokes can be seriously hurt when their reputations are maligned. Children need to understand their on and offline expressions that can hurt permanently. Teenagers need to realize that they risk gaining criminal records and inviting civil liability, even though the legal boundaries are shifting rapidly with evolving digital norms. I wish I could help each and every person who writes to me for help, because I get at least a dozen emails a week from all over the world. But that is, of course, not possible, but now it is with our website. There is no one-size-fits-all toolkit or solution to preventing or reducing cyberbullying. We can develop thoughtful and non-arbitrary educational policies and programming embedded in every sphere of school curriculum and school life. That speaks to our teacher education programs as well. While we do not claim to have all the answers, we can guide stakeholders in defining boundaries, drawing from established and emerging laws. We talk about engaging adults and youth online, however, it is not done very often. DefineTheLine.ca will help adults become comfortable with digital media. Parents have much to offer youth by means of advice on social relationships, respectful relationships, and empathy and citizenship. And in closing, before I introduce my team, how is Define the Line unique? It is bilingual, first of all. It is unique to Quebec. It will be expanded to provide comprehensive information on the Quebec context, including Quebec laws and judicial decisions relating to cyber intimidation. It is grounded in transdisciplinary research with an emphasis on the legal considerations as they inform educational policy. It encourages user analysis and helps stakeholders recognize the line through a critical thought process that improves clarity in making policy or practice decisions, disciplinary and or mentoring decisions. It is interactive and engages kids and teens. We recognize that the youth will most likely access this website only under the supervision and encouragement of teachers and parents. We don't expect young people to just find our website and say, I'm going to go and to define the line. That doesn't happen with kids. However, once they're introduced through the schools and through their parents, we hope that they will find enough there to sustain their interest. The children's pages on the English side are entirely constructed using children's contributions from a school, right, from a school in British Columbia, actually, because their teacher was one of my research assistants here at McGill. And you will have seen some of the plasma the work on the plasma screens, and you will see more. We hope to do that with the French sector as well. On the French side of the website, we have not populated the children's page because we want Quebec children to populate that web page. And so we will look to those of you who teach in the French sector to work with us to help to develop that. We will continue to build on a resource base of scholarly and legal resources. That's where we're unique. A lot of the websites out there on cyberbullying have no substantive basis, have no substantive legal or even research basis. So it took us almost 3 years to develop this website. You know, and people were saying, and I was wondering, how do people create websites so quickly? But it's the work and the quality that we wanted to ensure. And I have to tell you that the team members, my team members, were such perfectionists that even sometimes I would say, okay, come on, let's get it out, let's go. But these young people wanted to give you a perfect website, one that has substantive information. And I believe that we have succeeded, and they are the stars today, not me. So please welcome my researchers from my team, Jamie Sporton, Christina Tortida, and Jagtaran Singh.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to have to find a place. There's no place for paper anymore. It's just computers. All right, we'll manage. Good afternoon. My name is Jagtaran Singh, and I've had the pleasure of working with Shaheen and this great team. I'm just going to take you on a little bit of a tour today, through not only through our website, but also through the inner workings of our team and how we put things together. So first off, we have this fabulous logo, Define the Lion. It's like lots of words, beautiful art, and then all of a sudden, just nice, aesthetic, clean line. What is this? What's going on here? First off, we have to give our thanks to Glenn Gear, who put in so much time and effort into this logo. And on top of that, our team came together for numerous meetings, several hours just coming together and hammering out what exactly we were looking for in terms of a goal, in terms of an idea, in terms of philosophy, and how we were going to put it into a logo. And this is what we came up with. This logo combines our philosophy and practicality. Our philosophy in as much as we have education and awareness as two very, very strong parts, strong pillars of our philosophy. And education in what could constitute cyberbullying, right? And awareness in where and how to define the line. You could see this also in terms of prevention as opposed to punishment. So this isn't exactly easy, defining the line, right? And that's outlined here by this whole jumble of words. It's confusion. It's confusing. There's a lot of words. There's a lot of ideas. And that's exactly what the website is here to help with. It's here to help you define the line. So one thing you'll notice on the website, just this is the homepage, you'll notice that when you go over different stakeholders, for example, if this mouse will stay. There you go. You'll see that different words light up. They highlight. So now we're over the kids' stakeholders link. And it shows up, words show up like share, teasing, bully, support, joking, communicate. These are things that are particularly important to children, things that we focused on as well when addressing children's concerns. Moving on to the teens. We have words like sexting, include, peer pressure, teasing, dialogue, lead. We see a whole bunch of issues that teens are faced with every day, and then the hope that they'll grow. They will move on from teasing to dialogue. They'll move on from there to leading. Okay. Now moving on to parents, who are an integral part as well of our education and awareness. Parents have words like demeaning. Demeaning, protects, listen, gossip, censor. Hopefully not so much censor. Hopefully they won't have to once we start education. And trust, of course, that integral trust between the parent and their child. Right? Teachers. For teachers, we have words like empower, peer pressure, online drama, neglect, respect. These are things that teachers face every day in classrooms. As we'll find out, it's a much more complicated situation with teachers when they work in the classroom, work with students in an online environment as well. And then finally, we move on to policymakers. One second. There you go. Policymakers has words like protect, support, communicate, harassment, privacy breach, criminal threats. And so the whole idea behind these stakeholders is that they come together and they communicate. We create relationships between them. And once we create relationships, once we have dialogue in between these stakeholders, they can form an apex and we'll have, for example, we'll have policymakers who will listen to what kids and teens and parents and teachers have to say. And they'll make informed decisions, decisions that accurately reflect the realities of the online world. Okay. So let's move on to the kids page. All right. This is some of the fabulous artwork you've been seeing on the plasma screens as well. This is some of the artwork that Dr. Sharif was talking about when she mentioned the art that was done by the children in Richmond, BC school. I'll be talking a little bit more about this later on. But as you can see, something that's attractive to children, and it's a really great form and platform by which, attractive platform, shall we say, that children are attracted to and they can learn from at the same time. Moving on to teens. So change is a bit simpler, right? Something a bit more sort of clear-cut, and something, not only is it clear-cut, something particularly important is this right here, Hot Topics. Hot Topics is full of substantive content, right? And substantive content that's written, topics that are relevant for teens, but also written in prose that would be appreciated by teens. Apart from that, there's also videos in the teens section, which is making it clear that, you know, sometimes there are other ways to communicate, much more effective ways to communicate with different age groups, and that's one way that might be a much more effective way, a video, and in something much more interactive as opposed to just plain text, although the text is written in a way that is geared specifically to appeal to teens. Let's move on to parents. Okay, so parents play obviously a key role in education and awareness in learning to define the line. A series of topics you'll find here on towards the left right here that parents can read about, right, and inform themselves and then subsequently learn how they can inform their children and teach their children, educate their children. you'll see, for example, jokes on cyber libel. Right? We also have a video for which we need a plugin. And so on. There's several other, and this website's quite simply full of substantive content for these purposes, for learning and for helping individuals in leadership positions to teach others and train others. Moving on to teachers. Teachers whose profession forms one of the pillars of the Define the Line project, education. It's also important to note that it's not uncommon for teachers to actually be, and this is what I was talking about in terms of a much more complicated relationship, to be victims of cyberbullying. This, of course, has something to say for parents as well. And finally, moving on to policymakers. For policymakers, engaging in dialogue with other stakeholders, through engaging with dialogue with other stakeholders, they can make informed decisions. They can take appropriate actions to combat online bullying. There are, as you can see right here to the left, there are several law categories. This is where many of the law RAs spent a lot of their time, including yours truly. And as you can see, just in general, our website is much more than just a beautiful, deep, philosophical piece of art. It's quite frankly full of substantive content. And now what's also important is how this website got this content. So I'm going to talk, if you'll bear with me, just for a little bit longer about how that happened. we have objectives under the two research proposals funded by the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada and Ministry of Education Quebec under the Chantier Set were to create a website that was scholarly, user-friendly, and that engaged teachers and students and parents. And secondly, to provide informed knowledge grounded in research and analysis. So what sets our website apart from others is the conscious effort to provide informed guidelines drawing from various processes developed to ensure substantive and critical scholarship, analyzed from a range of disciplinary perspectives. I'm just going to articulate a little bit about those processes. So the first process. Our information systems specialist, that's right, information systems specialist Matthew Brown scanned current affairs, media reports, emerging legislation, political lobbies, court cases, a whole range of resources, really anything relating to cyberbullying and digital citizenship. This was then distributed to six legal researchers from the McGill Faculty of Law and six education graduate researchers to dig deeper for related cases, case law, identity issues, that impact parents, educators, policymakers, corporate interests, media literacy, digital literacy, and youth, amongst a whole range of other topics. Their write-ups are exactly what's posted on the website. So this is in-depth research, in-depth policy analysis that we've posted up on this website. The results have been twofold. The first one is, though it's peripheral, it's very, very important, and that is that through this system, there was a mentoring of McGill graduate and law students through a process of research and analysis. And the more central result was that the website audience will benefit from that informed research and substantive analysis. This is something that's often lacking. We find that many times these websites are often just blogs of what the author thinks or feels. Now, the second process, we developed videos as well, which my colleague Christina will be elaborating on shortly. The third process is engaging children. The children's page was entirely developed, as we know, using contributions from students at the Homa Elementary in Richmond, British Columbia. We will be showing you a video that they prepared. I think Jamie's going to show that as well, with their work, and you will be amazed and delighted at their insight. Their teacher, as we mentioned, Natalie Wakefield, is a McGill Education Alumni Master's student who now teaches at the school. Under the Chantier Set project, we're looking forward to engaging children in Quebec schools in a similar way, using focus groups, discussion forums, and contributions that will be detailed in an upcoming panel. In the fourth process, we have upcoming video blogs and experts. Our plan is to invite as many cyberbullying experts, legal experts, criminologists, privacy experts, basically a whole range of experts, as well as parental advocates and anyone else who is affected in this process, to present their into the website perspectives through video blogs. And stay tuned, we'll have those up in the upcoming months. The fifth process is charting legislation across North America and globally. Now, this is already underway. We're already charting legislation, emerging legislation. We're putting it together, and we're not only in North America, but globally, and we're going to present it, possibly in a map form or something equally visually attractive, I'm sure. And finally, the sixth process, qualitative research planned with schools, as I mentioned, working with schools, particularly in Quebec, such using focus groups, surveys, interviews with students and faculty administration. The Chantier Set Ministry of Education project supports us in engaging with schools and teachers. The Digital Citizenship Program at Lester B. Pearson will also allow us to engage with schools both on and offline. And finally, the seventh process. It's a culmination of research from DefineTheLine.ca in publication. As was mentioned earlier, Dr. Sharif has a contract from Cambridge University Press for a second edition of her book, Confronting Cyberbullying, which will draw from research compiled on our website and in the impact of our interactive work through the website itself. Dr. Sharif will also contribute and resource online journals on youth violence, youth leadership, online communications, and may eventually start an online journal housed on DefineTheLine.ca. So I hope you enjoy this tour of the website as well as the inner workings of our team. I hope you found it informative and somewhat fascinating. Thank you very much for your time, and now on to Jamie.
Good evening. My name is Jamie Swarton, and I'd like to speak as briefly as possible about stakeholder engagement, particularly teens and kids. As discussed earlier by JAG, our website is grounded in both intra-stakeholder engagement and input. And this is why, about a year ago and over the past year, members of our team have been visiting the school just outside of Vancouver before the website was even conceptualized to determine what they would like to see if they were designing the website. So everything from the name to the logo to slogans. And we're going to play a quick video that they recently sent in where they're discussing the concept of Define the Line as well as their rationale for some of what you see up there and their inspiration. So we'll go into that.
My name is Natalie Wakefield, and I'm a grade 6-7 French immersion teacher at Thomas Chihoma Elementary School in Richmond. This year, our students have had several opportunities to learn about and discuss ways in which they can positively represent themselves online. We have reminded our students that what they say or do online is a reflection of their character and how their words can have a positive or negative impact on others. We want to encourage them to act responsibly and respectfully online. Here is a sample of what Define the Line means to some of our students and the stories behind the creation of their mascot.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Wilson, and I teach at Tomokichi Homa Elementary in Richmond, D.C. I'm a grade 6-7 teacher. To me, someone who defines the line is someone that is aware of their behavior online. They know that their behavior can have a positive or a negative impact on others, and they choose what they type or what they do online carefully. They don't hide behind a computer screen. They're accountable for their actions. In other words, someone who is able to define the line is a positive digital citizen. Thanks.
Defining the line means being responsible for what you're doing. If you wouldn't do that to a person in front of you, why would you do it online?
Defining the line means
when jokes aren't jokes anymore, knowing when people's body language turns from happy to sad,
knowing when your teasing went too far.
Defining the line is the difference between two equals and one person being way more powerful than the other.
For me, defining the line is knowing when harmless turns to harmful.
Defining the line. Some kids all over the world struggle to find happiness in their everyday life, all because of one thing, bullying. You may not even realize it, but you can be hurting someone. Just one word or one action can scar a person's life. Defining the line also means watching what you do and what you say. And if you see bullying happening, make sure to take action and don't be a bystander. Stop the hurting and keep up peace around the world so everyone can be happy.
My name is Kalina, and to me, defining the line means knowing if your jokes are hurting the other person and being aware of others and treating them the way you'd like to be treated.
Defining the line for me is knowing the difference between joking and bullying, thinking about if the other person is taking this as a joke, an insult, or a threat.
Hi, my name is Sam.
And my name is Minka.
We drew a domino for the Define the Line website. The domino represents that when one person bullies, it creates a chain reaction, just like a domino effect.
It's like when you see someone getting bullied, you feel like it's okay to join in.
You need to stand tall
and don't fall into the trap.
Hi, my name is Becca, and for the Define the Line website, I drew the bull. Because when you're a bully, you need to calm the bully down by saying stop. So in my drawing, the bull is the bully, and I calmed it down like saying stop, but with rock and roll. That's why it's the bull and the saying rock and roll, don't bully.
Hi, my name is Taylor.
Hi, my name is Mark.
Together, we created Kelly the Chameleon for the Define the Line website.
Kelly the Chameleon represents all the mixed feelings and emotions you can go through when you're being bullied.
Kelly the Chameleon expresses her feelings through her colors. Like when you're being bullied, some people express their feelings through their colors that are kind of like emotions.
Hi, my name is Ian.
And my name is James.
And for the website, we created a car which relates to our slogan, which is Stop Your Car, You've Gone Too Far.
Also, we drew the car because even though it's a small car, it can still stand up to the larger cars who are bullies.
Hi, my name is Adam.
And my name is Lorenzo. I'm also for the front of my website is the robot, and our slogan is Feel the Robot Gone Too Far.
And we chose Be a Good Robot because, and don't be a virus because be a good robot on the internet and being responsible, and don't be a virus as in being irresponsible and not following the rules online.
My name is Brandon.
My name is Michael.
And our mascot is a dolphin.
The dolphin represents the good old animal in the ocean because it does not bite like a shark.
And we want people to be treating other people like dolphins.
Hi, my name is Brian.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
We drew the ninja for the Define the Line website.
As iconic as the ninja is, it can do a lot of damage before you actually see it.
Like a cyberbully will hide behind your screen and conceal its true identity. Like a ninja will use its stealth color.
So regrettably, those students couldn't be with us tonight, but the Define the Line team wishes to thank them for their contributions to our website. We recognize that our teens and kids pages are less populated than the adult stakeholders, and there is a reason for that. It's because we're looking for further input from these stakeholders. So we're looking to do more projects, and there's actually some, I'm not going to go into great detail about them, but within the next month you're going to see some videos on the teen site that were video blogs done by two students at Rosemount High School here in Montreal, and they're talking about the issue of sexting, and they're going to be pretty great. They'll be up in just a couple months. So that was our team collaborated with them to write the script and to get those produced. But I just want to go into our next project that we're going to launch. It's another stakeholder engaging project for the teens specifically, and we're going to put a call out to any creative youth, whether it's graphic design or drawing or poetry or video blogging or whatever is basically website friendly that they want to create for us, that they will give them some criteria, and then they can go, and that's what this share section is for right here. We recognize that our researchers need to put engaging and meaningful content up there that they can learn from, but at the same time it's really important that youth voices and for youth by youth content is up there as well. So that's what this share section here is for, and I'm just going to quickly show you some amazing work by a girl we met just last month who had done this project for her IB program at school, and she had done these flyers that she gave us consent for. So basically the project is that we'll be putting the word out there to the teens to get more content up, and it's a kind of a reciprocal relationship in that if they're wanting to become a graphic designer, as Andrea does, for example, then they will get the credit that they're due, and they'll get their name on the website. So they now have a Google hit when they put their name, and they can apply for college with that, or they can put it on a resume or whatever. So we pitched it to a couple teens, and they're pretty excited about it. So I could talk about that for a while. I'm excited about it as well, but I think I'll just stop there. And if anybody has some youth in their lives that you think might be interested, I'd love to talk to you after, and I'll give you some more information. So I'll leave it at that. I'll just introduce the next video because yesterday some of our team went to a school off-island and they introduced our project and engaged in some dialogue with them. And the media was there, not only Global TV, but the McGill Media put together the video you're about to see after going to that school and after talking to Dr. Sharif in her home yesterday. So we're going to see that video and then I'll pass it over to Christine.
Bullying. It often goes unseen, yet is present in most schools. And in the digital age, cyberbullying can reach right into a child's bedroom and deep into their psyche.
We're scared that this is going to happen to us, so we often let people deal with their own problems. And that's why we are all bystanders. We all step aside to protect ourselves instead of standing up for the people.
We think that's out of a business, so we don't really do anything. And we think, like, oh, someone else is going to do something about it. But in the end, it just continues and gets worse.
Cyberbullying is an extension of traditional bullying. So it has all the elements of traditional bullying, which include a power imbalance. There's always a power imbalance. There's always exclusion, isolation, blaming the victim for something, and then justifying the harm.
I find that a lot of us also join in on the bullying. We don't just let it happen.
How do you mean?
Like, let's say someone will say something about another person, people will always add to it.
McGill Professor Shaheen Sharif is recognized as a global leader in the relatively new phenomenon of cyberbullying.
It can spread to an infinite audience. It can be accessed by an infinite audience. It's permanent. It's much more permanent. It can be saved and stored on people's computers. It can resurface. And the perpetrators can hide behind screen names.
Before, it would be more physical, like it would be in your face, like, I don't like you, and so I'm just going to bully you right now. Now, it's like, out of nowhere, you could get an email randomly, and you feel confused, why this happened to me, who is this person, I don't even know who they are.
Sharif's new website, Define the Line, aims to tackle cyberbullying by exposing and analyzing it, to encourage dialogue and explore possible solutions.
Can you believe she did this?
What?
Whoa, Michael, look at this. You have to send
this
to me.
Oh, so nice and sick and so sweet. Did you do this?
Yeah.
Well, that's
right. You got it sent.
Damn right, man.
Nice.
Okay. You're so bad for me, though.
I guess so.
You would do that, though.
I don't know. Can you send it to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
It really shows how high school is, because it's exactly like that, I'm sure, in every high school.
Sexting has become a real issue for law enforcement, because what's happening is young people, as I said, they don't distinguish between their public and private, so they will send in intimate photographs to people they trust. When that trust is breached, if there's a problem, say they fall out, have a falling out, those pictures are posted and sent, and they, you know, they go viral. The only way that the law is able to deal with that is to call it child pornography, distribution of child pornography. And they have charged several young teenagers for distributing child pornography. There was a case in the States where a young boy sent out his girlfriend's, and she killed herself. And because she killed herself, he was charged, I think it's Louisiana, with child pornography. Now, he did it on impulse. He was angry with her. They had a fight. He posted it. Did not think about the consequences. He has a criminal record for the rest of his life. Kids need to be told that.
The website is populated with media reports from around the globe of cyberbullying incidents, emerging legislation, and examples of ethical questions to consider. Research assistants analyze the reports to come up with guidelines for children, teens, parents, and educators.
They would go and research the issue, find resources, write up a template with the resources, do an analysis. Because I said to them, I want you to analyze this because this has to have scholarly substance. This is how our website is different from the ones that are out there. And then we walk them through these scenarios and think, and say, well, what would you do if your child was engaged in this kind of a situation? How think about what you would tell them. And where does it become harmful? Where does it cross the line?
If a friend is being bullied online, should you really speak out and take action to help them? Before, bullying was localized like at school, and now bullying like happens at home. You're staying at home, you're doing your homework, someone sends you an email, you see the email. So it's something that people, like the people who are being bullied, get bullied throughout the day. It's morning, day, and night.
A lot of parents are completely detached. I don't think they realize how much of this is going on, and I don't think they realize that it's happening to their kids or the extent to which their kids are engaging in this type of thing.
I think that that's a good start, because parents can have access to that site and maybe see what it actually is, see like from their own eyes, and just maybe talk to their children. I know it's a hard subject, but so many people are getting bullied and parents don't even know.
One of the things I really want is that parents will work with their kids to learn how to use the website and to use digital media. I think there's a huge gap now, and it's widening with kids and adults in how they use, you know, so the digital immigrants who are the parents and the digital natives, the kids, need to communicate, and they're able to offer each other help. And so hopefully through this website, engaging on this website, the parents will be able to get a better understanding of how to use media, and they can work with the kids to help them understand where they crossed that line, where they've gone too far, when joking and teasing can become, criminal harassment or cyber libel, when it can affect someone's reputation. It's a very complex issue.
Bon, merci beaucoup à Jenny et à Jacques Tarrant pour leur présentation. Comme mentionné plus tôt par la professeure Sharif, nous sommes très intéressés à être engagés, nous sommes très engagés à alimenter la partie française de notre site web.
à travailler de concert avec les écoles du secteur francophone au Québec pour qu'elles participent aux groupes de discussion, à la recherche et aux projets en classe et à sensibiliser les parents, enseignants, décideurs et jeunes de ce secteur. En particulier, nous avons hâte de documenter la recherche sur l'expérience francophone en matière de médias électroniques, de cyberintimidation et de citoyenneté numérique. C'est un domaine qui manque beaucoup de travail et nous sommes là pour remplir ce vide. Nous souhaitons également comprendre et analyser plus en profondeur les lois et les décisions judiciaires au Québec associées aux infractions commises en ligne. Nous espérons finalement pouvoir collaborer avec les écoles pour mettre au point des politiques, programmes et pratiques qui aideront à réduire les cas de cyberviolence dans nos écoles au Québec. Mais comment pouvons-nous engager les étudiants dans un dialogue sur ce sujet? Comme mentionné plus tôt par mes collègues, sur le fait de définir la frontière, les adolescents trouveront de nombreuses vidéos qui ont été produites en collaboration avec la Caravane de la tolérance. Les scénarios de ces capsules sont le fruit d'une collaboration très étroite avec les membres de notre équipe et le personnel de la Caravane de la tolérance, dont les représentants sont avec nous ce soir. Ces vidéos serviront à encourager les jeunes à réfléchir sur la question de la cyberintimidation, tout en abordant des perspectives différentes et en soulevant des problématiques importantes par rapport à la question. Par exemple, le sextage dont nous avons vu dans la vidéo et la diffusion des rumeurs dans le cadre des nouvelles technologies. Nous espérons que ces vidéos aideront les adolescents à apprendre où leurs affirmations en ligne risquent de franchir les limites de l'acceptable. Heureusement, et nous sommes très fiers de ce partenariat, les enseignants de la commission scolaire Lester B. Pearson sont présentement en train de développer des leçons en fonction du contenu abordé dans ces vidéos. Il y a quelques jours, des membres de notre équipe étaient présents au lancement de ces activités en classe à l'école secondaire Riverdale. Mais je laisserai le directeur du programme de citoyenneté numérique de la commission Lester B. Pearson vous en expliquer davantage. Ces vidéos, tout comme les sites, ont comme objectif primordial d'encourager un dialogue qui favorisera le respect, l'autonomisation des jeunes et la collaboration. D'ailleurs, des jeunes ont activement participé au développement du dialogue des vidéos, ajoutant une touche de réalisme à un débat qui est souvent victime de sensationnalisme. Dans l'esprit d'encourager l'autonomisation et la citoyenneté numérique, nous croyons qu'il est nécessaire de promouvoir la philosophie pour des jeunes, par des jeunes. Nous tenons à remercier tous les jeunes qui ont pris le temps de s'attaquer à un problème qui leur est très proche et qui sont avec nous ce soir. Merci. Sans plus tarder, voici la nouvelle.
Tu veux savoir la nouvelle?
Pourquoi? Qu'est-ce qu'elle est?
Ma cousine était dans son ancienne école. Elle a dit que c'était une vraie pute.
Ah ouais? Je trouvais qu'elle avait de l'air fine.
Non, elle a vraiment l'air d'une fine.
C'est sûr que c'est une bonne idée.
Oui.
Mais c'est juste une blague.
Juste une blague, c'est tout.
Oh, shit.
Je vais prendre une photo avant que quelqu'un le voit.
Yo, check ça, man.
Yo, on y va, on voit la photo à seul.
Non, moi.
C'est un chien.
C'est vraiment un chien.
Ouais.
Il s'appelle Rachel, c'est ça?
Moi ce soir, vous êtes tous invités, la porte est ouverte.
Thank you, Jamie, Jag, and Christina, for taking us through the website and showing us the wonderful videos. Next, I just want to introduce a very special message from Ryan Kalo. He's giving us a message from Stanford. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here physically, but we have a surrogate for him who's going to stand in. Ryan Kalo is the director for the Consumer Privacy Project at Stanford University's Center for Internet and Society. He's an expert on issues of data security, privacy, and telecommunications, and researches and presents on the intersection of law and technology. His work has appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the San Francisco Chronicle, really, really long list. I'm sure you guys can look him up. And he serves on several advisory and program committees and co-chairs the American Bar Association Committee on Robotics and Artificial Intelligence. Ryan received his Juris Doctorate cum laude from the University of Michigan Law School and his BA in Philosophy from Dartmouth. Prior to law school, Ryan was an investigator of allegations of police misconduct in New York. So since he can't be here today, we have our lovely Anna Piakajewski, who is going to read his short message on behalf of Ryan. Thanks, Anna.
All right. So, on behalf of Ryan, so this is from his perspective, of course. So my name is Ryan Kalo, and and I run the Consumer Privacy Project at Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society. I wish. I'm writing to express my strong support for Define the Line, a wonderful web-based resource dedicated to helping students, teachers, parents, and others understand and overcome the growing problem of cyberbullying. In many ways, it is a great time to be a kid. The internet means that children can explore the world with few limits. It also provides a platform for community building and communication so that no kid has to feel like she's alone in her interests or views. Cyberbullying interferes with these benefits by introducing stress into what otherwise ought to be a zone of personal enrichment. The stress comes from a variety of sources. One common source of stress is, unfortunately, children themselves. The overwhelming majority of children behave, well, like children. They can be silly and tactless, but they're ultimately civil. But the presence of one child who bullies in a chat room can change the conversation. Moreover, whereas previously one student could terrorize at most one classroom, his or her own, the internet permits perpetrators to alter an online dynamic anywhere in the world. Internet conversations often do not feel face-to-face, with the result that online interactions take on a different character. The possibility of anonymity also dampens a feeling of accountability. Pranks get darker, conversations ruder, and so on. The result is that children feel vulnerable to attack online. They never quite know when a perpetrator of bullying will strike. Another more subtle risk is the moral hazard that comes from participating in an uncivil dialogue. Becoming someone who engages in bullying, in other words, when it is not necessarily in one's nature. Despite the dangers, cyberbullying is a complex problem to resolve. One person's bullying is another's banter. We do not want to censor what children say, nor monitor our children overly closely, lest we interfere with their curiosity and self-expression. We do not want to replace the lesson that children should be civil with the notion that they cannot be trusted. That is why efforts such as Define the Line are so important. Define the Line helps clarify for lawmakers, teachers, parents, and children themselves what types of conduct are truly harmful. It seeks through education to inform kids about the impact of their actions and words, trusting that most children will refrain from causing such harm upon realizing its nature. Finally, Define the Line is essentially participatory. It is a place where children can shape their experience, even as they learn about the promise and perils of internet use. For all of these reasons, I am proud to support Defy the Line and encourage others to do the same. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Ryan, if you're watching us from Stanford. So I just wanted to introduce our last speaker for the evening. After this special man, we will have our surprise musical performance and then the question and answer session. So I know we're running a little bit behind on time, so once the question and answer session begins, and if you have places to go, you're free to leave, although we would love to have you stay. And you will be rewarded with refreshments if you do stay. So, just so you're aware. The last speaker for this evening, I had to have a short workshop to pronounce his last name correctly, so I'm going to go for gold here. Our last speaker is Michael Keckley. I was told I had to do it with oomph, so Keckley sounds good to me. He's the Director of Educational Services for the Lester B. Pearson School Board here in Quebec. He began his teaching career at a juvenile detention center and served as an educational consultant and school principal. Michael earned a Bachelor's of Education from McGill and a Master's of Education from Concordia. Something wrong with that. He's playing both sides, I see. He lectures at Concordia in the field of educational technology. But he is here in the McGill Faculty Club. Sorry, Michael. Michael has been working on the development of school board policy and the instructional design for digital citizenship materials. He continues to implement strategies in the delivery of French for students, literacy and numeracy, third language instruction, innovations in classroom technology, and creation of work-oriented pathway programs. Michael and his wife, Della, have two teenage boys. He enjoys traveling and spending time with his family. So please join me in welcome Michael Keckley.
You did a very good job with the presentation. I also do a lecture part-time at McGill. Good evening. We at Lester B. Pearson School Board are very proud to be part in partnership with McGill University for this exciting launch of the Define the Line website. The Lester B. Pearson Digital Citizenship Project is an innovative program with the goal of producing responsible citizens for the 21st century. Since its inception in September 2010, we are proud to announce that much effort and planning has been put in place to sensitize our stakeholders, including the parents, teachers, students, school communities and centers, universities, and business partners. The Digital Citizenship Project is one that favors good pedagogy and appropriate use of technology. In terms of the pedagogy, it allows for students to be critical thinkers. We want to teach students not to believe everything they observe on the web. We want to teach them about copyright issues, how to properly search the internet for sources of information, and on the use and abuse in using technology. As educators, we cannot ignore that learning is more than a school day within the parameter of the physical classroom. Similarly, socializing is no longer limited to face-to-face interaction, but rather a 24-hour-a-day social digital network. Too often, schools have to deal with online issues that take place outside of school hours. Therefore, we need to have a proactive framework to deal with the multiple stakeholders to help raise awareness of pertinent issues relating to digital citizenship, including internet safety and cyberbullying. I would like to thank Dr. Shaheen Sharif, along with her dedicated team of researchers, for developing a valuable website that will be integrated within our program. McGill University partnering with Lester B. Pearson to help educate on the topic of cyberbullying is beneficial to all stakeholders. On May 17th, teachers at Riverdale High School met with 8 grade 9 and 10 students and delivered a very successful teacher-created lesson plan titled The Computer, based on the following video vignette.
Knows from us?
No, it's a fake account.
No one knows it's us. Do it, dude.
Check out what this other guy just posted.
Oh, you can come up with something funnier.
Yeah, that's not really cool.
Move, dude. Look. Alright, look, we're gonna tell him we're gonna beat him up after school. He's gonna totally piss his pants.
Oh, man, he's gonna be so scared.
Do you want me to drive you to school tomorrow morning? I'm feeling a bit sick. I don't think I'll be able to go to school tomorrow.
Hey, you retard. No one wants you at our school. Get out. Everyone, you're an idiot. No one loves you. You're dying. You're dying.
The discussion generated by the videos and lesson was extremely reassuring. The students were able to relate with the different stakeholders in the video because they had seen similar incidences happen. By the end of the discussion session, the students wanted to know what they could do to prevent similar situations from happening with people they know. There was another video we had shown to our teachers as well, to our DCP teachers, leaders, on the cell phone, the texting. And what was interesting about that video is we thought of using it in the high school, but in the room we had high school and elementary teachers, and all of the elementary teachers thought that we should be using that at grade 5-6 because too often we are too late when we introduce this into the classroom. So I found that quite interesting. And they also said that similar situations had happened in the elementary level, and that we should be educating the students and not always blocking them. Ribble and Bailey state that as schools and society become more inundated with digital technology, there needs to be a structure that they can teach students and parents how to act with respect to this technology. We are very excited with this partnership and believe that a digital citizenship education will ensure that all of our students approach technology as responsible digital citizens. Thank you.
Okay, now for the musical event we've all been waiting for. We have a special guest here today, well, many guests, They are a group of grade 6 girls from Orchard Elementary School in LaSalle. They will be performing a stepping and gumboot routine that they made up themselves after they were inspired by a South African gumboot dancer that came and visited their school. So they incorporated the moves that they learned from him while mixing their own elements of step, which is a type of dance and body percussion. They're also going to sing a few songs for us. One is called I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. And the second is the Don't Laugh at Me song, which is sung and loved by all the students at Orchard Elementary School. So please give them a warm welcome.
Thank you. I'm
I'm pretty sure I can speak for everybody in this room and say that that was amazing. It was, you guys are beautiful singers. You have so much passion, so much energy, and it really made the difference tonight to have you here. We're honored to hear you guys sing. And can we just have another massive round of applause? So thank you again for coming, and we have a small gift for you, so don't leave, but I think Nikita has it for you in the back. Okay, and now we will do a short question and answer session, if our lovely team could reinstall our table up here. As I said before, if you have questions, you can tweet them in, or I think if we have maybe Ruthie, you want to grab this microphone and... yeah, it's right here. So I'd like to invite up Dr. Sharif and our team members. Amy, if you're around, if you want to come up for the question and answer session, that would be great. You have a question? Welcome.
I normally come up first. I usually let a few people speak, but I just got a phone call, and I've got to be somewhere else in 20 minutes. I was actually on my way to Toronto to protest against verbal and psychological harassment, which includes, but's not limited to, cyberbullying on the part of clergy, adults. And everything that's being said here applies perfectly to adults as much as children. And as far as the Lester Pearson School Board fellow goes, you definitely do have to lower the age of it and get in there, I'd say, grade 3 or 4 and up, because you obviously you want to teach children to behave better than adults. Because I'm not joking. I'm talking about ministers of a church doing all of this stuff and being allowed to do it by the religious community. Mm-hmm. To just give you one example, I filed a complaint against the minister for a series of blog posts in which she deeply insulted people, verbally and psychologically abused people, probably cyber slandered and libeled a few people as well. This minister did this under a pseudonym. In other words, she was identified as a minister of their religious community, but she didn't give her real name. It was a pseudonym. And the result that I got from filing this complaint was they came back and they said, well, because the minister isn't identified by name, this is outside of her role as a minister in the church, and she can say whatever hell she wants. I didn't put in quite those terms, but so everything here applies to adults, and I really think you got to extend it both ways. You got to extend it back to younger children to teach them, but you really, I think, have to reach adults. And the other thing, too, is when it gets into the criminal area, when you're dealing with teenagers, you know, you're dealing with minors, so it's maybe not quite as serious, but you know, once you head into the adult territory, I think the consequences are much more serious. I've been accused of cyberbullying myself in terms of basically retaliatory responses to this stuff. So I'd just like to see you expand it back to younger, but also extend it forward, you know, into cyberbullying, maybe in business and so on. And I'm going to leave. I'm about to head off to Toronto. But if you're interested in my case, because it's very well documented, it's up on the internet, I've been accused of cyberbullying by a blog that's called the Robin Edgar Sucks blog. That is, of course, my name. So here's this Robin Edgar Sucks blog accusing me of cyberbullying. So if you want to look into this stuff, just go to the Robin Edgar Sucks blog, Google Robin Edgar, and you'll find all this stuff. And I'll be in touch later, because I'd like to present my case as something you might want to look into and deal
thank
with.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. So you didn't have a question, but thank you for your
question.
Thank
you. I was a suggestion to bring it back to the younger
great
kids.
Great. Yes, we are actually looking at adult bullying and bullying in the workplace and all of those issues, especially bullying or cyberbullying in the post-secondary institutions. That's an issue as well. So that's another possible research grant, we hope.
How about religious communities?
Thank you.
other questions?
Do we have any
tweets?
Oh.
I think we have a question.
First of all, I want to congratulate you. I was wondering if on the site you had classroom activities for teachers. I teach in high school in Mascouche, a French high school.
If we have, sorry, I didn't.
Classroom activities.
We're building those. We're actually in the process of building those. So we will have, but we're also looking for teachers to work with us to develop some of that material.
Sure.
So, you know, if you have any good, or if you can work with some of the material on our website, the content on our website, and develop it as Lester B. Pearson has. And, you know, it was really wonderful to see that they took our movie, our video, and put a lesson plan to it very quickly, and it was very effective in the classrooms. I do actually, in answering these questions, I want to show that we have a fully populated French side of our website. It's fully populated. My team didn't do that, but if we can just click on that while we're talking, at least people can see that we have that side. Yes. Anyone else? Any other questions?
When we have the classroom activities fully developed, this will be the section of the website where they'll be posted.
Is anyone tweeting?
Any questions from our webcaster first?
Yeah, we do have a couple questions coming from the live feed.
Great.
The first one's from Mark Johnson, and Mark says, congratulations on the launch. It is great to see you soliciting input from a wide range of students across the country. Are there any plans to work with students in the USA or other parts of the world to get a sense of the issues that they faced with regards
Actually,
to...
Actually, Evan, I'm partly deaf. Could I ask you to come to the front and,
sure,
and
yeah.
ask? Thank you.
You hear me through the microphone?
Oh, they're online. Oh, I can't
yeah,
see.
Yeah, they're on the screen up here.
So
Mark asks, are there any plans to work with students in the USA or other parts of the world to get a sense of what issues they face with regards to digital citizenship?
Absolutely, yes. We eventually want to work with people globally, and we welcome any input from anyone across the world. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
We have one more... One more comment here from two people close to Dr. Sharif. It reads, Dr. Sharif, a.k.a. Mom, and your entire team, congratulations on the launch of Define the Line. It is so exciting to see all of your hard work come to fruition in the form of such a comprehensive, holistic, aesthetically pleasing, and effective tool. It will undoubtedly help the various stakeholders define the line and will certainly revolutionize the ways in which we, both natives and immigrants, approach digital citizenship with boundless love and pride, Hanif and Farhana.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm thrilled. And they are definitely digital natives and not immigrants, and they know how much of an immigrant I am because I'm always panicking and going to them, oh, I've lost my, you know, whatever. But thank you. Any more?
Any other questions from the audience?
So
all right, so before we officially end off the program, I think Professor Sharif is going to come up and sort of close things off, but very quickly from the team. We wanted to say congratulations. She's given us a lot of praise over the course of this evening's program, but I think it's probably pretty clear that it would have only been her incredible vision, perseverance, and determination over the last few years that has created this website. As she mentioned, there was many times we were like, I don't know, you know, this part's not edited, there's missing punctuation, and she really pushed us to make sure that we stuck to our deadlines, we got this website completed, and it was really, I think I can speak on behalf of everyone, really, really inspiring working under her leadership over the last few months. She definitely has a long-term, sustainable, and fabulous vision for where she wants this project to go. So in order to say congratulations and thank you for all the mentorship, we have a token of appreciation for you, which we'll give to you. Oh, we'll give to you right now.
Oh, no. No,
in closing, these are the acknowledgments. I'm just overwhelmed. As I said, my team was
just fabulous. Shazia, can you help me find my presentation, my acknowledgments? You see how dependent I am on them. So I'll start off, actually, while we're... is it on? My PowerPoint still? Okay, well, I'll start introducing them. First of all, Amy. Amy, please stand up. Amy has been our content manager for on the system, and she is incredible. She has managed enormous amounts of content over, you know, because she's the central person where everybody sends everything to Amy, and we call them the VPOF threads, and she would organize them and give them the right numbers and then send them out to all the RAs and say, do you want to take this on? Do you want to analyze it from a parent perspective or a teacher's perspective? But she had to keep track of all of this, and not only that, she then managed all the translations. She managed, we used McGill translators, but she had to send out all the content, and then when it came back, to upload it in the right places. So, and recently she just got a full-time job, so she's been doing this evenings and weekends without much sleep. So I want to really thank Amy. Shazia Abdi, you've got to know her, and you can see her talents as an event planner and an MC, and she has been instrumental. She actually conceptualized the whole process of work, or process of content, because we were struggling on how, with so many issues and so many stakeholders, and so many different disciplines, how are we going to manage this content and how are we going to get it to the website? Well, Shazia came up with this fabulous plan whereby someone from Information Systems, and I'll introduce him soon, but actually scanned the internet for current affairs and laws and all of that, and then it went through, and she actually created the whole flow chart that went to Amy and then went to the others. So she is a woman of many talents. She's always told me she wants to go into events management, even though she has a degree in psychology, neurosciences, but I think, you know, whatever Shazia sets her mind to do, she's very capable of doing. Please come and get a hug, Shazia. And when we first put up our About Us page, Glenn Gear was on there, and it just said, Glenn is an awesome dude. And I have to say, Glenn, you are an awesome dude. Glenn is our artistic director, and he joined our team as a sort of an outside contractor to do the design work for our Define the Line project. And he has just become a part of the team. He's become our go-to person for everything technical. And he's tremendously talented. And you just had some short animation films nominated, right? So if anyone, you know, keep your eyes open, because he's going to be big. He's really excellent. Thank you, Glenn. Matthew Brown is our current affairs guy, so he's the guy who did, you know, scanned the internet for all of the different work. Matthew cannot be with us tonight. He's in the U.S. Right now, but he's a backup for content management and always supportive, cheerful, committed, and efficient. Jamie Sporton has been another incredible support for my research and my work. She's been with me for at least two or three years. How long has it been, Jamie? Three? And she is the
she is the person behind the kids and the teens pages, and she has written the teen-friendly content. She modified it to become teen-friendly. She's developed videos. She's worked with the kids. She's always willing to go to the schools. She substitute teaches. Again, a wonderful, wonderful resource. Thank you, Jamie. Jason, where are you? Are you here? I saw him earlier. Ah, here you are. Jason Lister was recommended to me by Jamie, and at the earlier on in the year, I wasn't able to hire him because I had too many RAs, but I am so thankful that he then ended up joining the team, because he, again, has been instrumental in helping to upload and edit content, resources, and references, always cheerful, always willing to help. And he's a media star now, because he was on Global TV yesterday when the media went to the school, to Heritage School. And Akita Sunar, she was with the kids. There she is. Thank you, Jason. Nikita Sunar is our administrative assistant, and she does all the paperwork, and there's a lot of it, and she manages very efficiently, and she keeps our team together. She's our sort of mother hen, so that's wonderful. Thank you, Nikita. You've kept us going. You've met some of our law students, Anna, who is Ryan, and Christina Tutira, Jack Taran Singh, Jesse Gutman, who couldn't be here, Ruth Silva Smith, where are you, Ruth? Ruth is there. Ruth is one of our youngest law students. Kimberly Lee Lewis, Kimberly, there you are. And Nima Naimi, I think he had to leave, but he's been with us for a long time. All of whom did the legal research for the policy, parent, and teacher pages, and some youth pages. Their work, the law students, their writing is wonderful. It's great because I didn't have to do a lot of editing, and they maintain the high McGill standard for legal research and scholarly excellence. So thank you, all of you. You met Natalie Wakefield on the Vancouver video, the video from Richmond, BC. Again, a very committed teacher and an individual. Her teaching skills are reflected in what you saw with the kids. So she's just a wonderful resource for us out west. Evan Dexter, last but not least, he's our Twitter person, but he's also a fresh pair of eyes that joined us recently, and he has just—he's just fresh out of journalism school and is looking for media work. So please, if anyone has—I would highly recommend him. He's done a wonderful editing job for us on our website. I have some. So that was our research team. I will quickly, I know we've made you sit for a long time, I do apologize, some very quick acknowledgements to other people who have really counted on this. This has been truly a joint effort. Again, I wish to thank the Ministry of Education, Shatia 7 Project, and the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada. And I hope that we can count on further funding support to sustain this website and on this important issue. The Lester B. Pearson School Board, Michael Keckley, thank you. Suan Day is here now, the new school board president, right? Would you stand up? Thank you for coming. Tanya Abrith, for your support and partnership, as well as participation. And from the French sector, Ms. Nathalie Goumont, Pierre Chartrand. Is Pierre here? Oh, Pierre. Bonjour. Bonsoir. Nathalie Constant. Nathalie. Sophie Bourque. And for their immense support and feedback and meeting with us and giving us ideas and suggestions and for liaising with us. And I am really, really looking forward to continuing working with you, Natalie and Pierre, and all of you. Thank you.
Dr. Ryan Kahlo of CIS Stanford, who contributed as a Stanford affiliate. I've just joined them, and the support from Ryan has been tremendous, and the fact that they are actually going to put the spotlight on our website through their website is phenomenal. Thank you very much. Bernard Charlebois and Craig Walsh of Virtual. Bernard, stand up. They're the ones who, the web developers, that's where our website is. And Bernard has been really helped us to get this done, and phenomenal. I think they've got a really good development company, so that's excellent. And the Tolerance Foundation, last but not least, Director Asya Kada is here, and Adrienne Paquette, and Carolyn Nantel, and especially Michaela Lance Simmons. And these are the people who made those wonderful videos that you saw. And I think the quality is so very good. Have they left? Michaela? No, maybe they were here earlier. And Dr. Don Zinga of Brock University, who's my co-investigator, all of the McGill people who have supported this event, Derek Kassoff, Daniel Chonchel, Tiffany Pope, they all sent out the invitations, and many, many others throughout McGill volunteered their talent. It makes you realize that when you're part of a university that supports such excellence, the broader McGill community comes in to support work like this, and it's really important that they when your own university recognizes the work you do, that's a tremendous bonus. I'm so proud to be at McGill. And again, the faculty club, Mr. Nicholas Zrihan has done wonderful the catering and the setting up of this event. Mr. Chris Cipello and Ms. Jackie Rourke of the media relations, Mr. Stuart McCombie, and I can't remember your name, for doing the technical support, our translators, Meg Alexis, and Kimberly Barnes. Is Kimberly here today? Kimberly Barnes from the Heritage School that you saw on the video for juggling classroom schedules. Anyway, that's it. So I'm defining the line now, no more. But thank you for coming out and spending time with us. And please, we have lots of hors d'oeuvres, lots of punch left. And, please feel free to mingle and stay with us for a while. Thank you.